Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the outdoor show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather is 77 down on the island this morning. Feels like 79 at front. There wasn't much to it, was there? Well, a mix of clouds and sun today with very warm temperatures this time of year, high near 80. East winds 10 to 20. Tonight, a few clouds, low of 76. East winds 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy with periods of showers later in the day. It's going to be warm again, high of 81 with east winds 15 to 25. That rain chance tomorrow afternoon is about 40%. So, man, need some fronts. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and there's two of them. We're sitting on a high right now that occurred at 2:16 a.m. at the Galveston Channel. It was a 1.8, and a low this afternoon at 1:32 p.m. It's an 0.2. And looking at sunrise, 6:37 a.m., sunset, 5:28 p.m., moon phase, 24%, quarter moon. All right, looking at current conditions right now, looks like it's kind of east-southeast at 8 miles an hour down at the Galveston North Jetty. San Luis Pass is east at about 6, and up in the top of the complex, northeast at 7, and Eagle Point, it's east at 8. The old rollover site is east at 6. So winds are down for now. They're calling them for the gust up later today, but right now conditions look pretty favorable in my books anyway. So that ought to do it. Tides and winds and good luck fishing today. All right, let's run over to the Golden Triangle area at Sabine Lake and check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning and see what he's up to. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right.
Well, that's good.
That little trip out there Monday, I think, was like 40 miles an hour.
Is that all?
Yeah.
It was cranking, wasn't it?
It was cranking, and man, I'm telling you, we caught fish anyway.
Well, that's a plus.
Well, when it's blowing that hard, you have to fish where it lets you.
You're just pinned down. You got to do what you got to do. Just not a lot of variables there, bud.
I had about a 5-mile area that I could play in.
Right.
Up and down the shoreline, and it was southeast wind, and it was 15 to 20, and then right about 9 o'clock, it got up to way on up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at the wind yet, and it was like 35 knots in gust. And we got to fighting this big redfish. Probably about a 32-inch red.
Yeah.
And we got to fighting that thing, and I had to pull the trolling motor up, pull up the power pole, everything, to fight this fish. And before it was over and done, we were blown out probably a half a mile out into the lake.
Right. I mean, off the shoreline.
This fish was so strong. You know how them big headed things are. And man, it was tossing us around like a popping cork. I couldn't even believe it. Finally got that fish in the boat, and we were way off the shoreline. I said, oh my gosh, how are we going to ever get back? We took a little bit of spray trying to idle back to the bank.
Oh, yeah.
Man, but, you know, that was, we had a couple of oversized reds and a big old black drum and 17 nice trout. You know, it's just one of those days that you just had to hug the bank. But the water was pretty. That sure. was the deal. Now, later on up in the day, it finally hurled it out there in the middle of the lake because the wind was just so strong. But we just kept on plugging away.
And well, sometimes that worked out good for you when you're just pinned down to one area. And you've got to fish it out and make the most of it. Sometimes it pays off instead of, well, you know, kind of hitting an area and go, whoa, that's not happening. Let's move on. Then you miss them, you know.
Yeah. You got to launch on the side that you're going to fish on.
Right.
You know, stay on the lee side. Don't try to get out in that open water. It was interesting, let's put it that way. But we did catch fish and some pretty nice trout. You know, a lot of 15, 17-inch trout. And of course, on the Louisiana side, you have a little bit of option.
Yeah.
So it was, but, you know, everybody had a good time, caught fish the whole morning, had a lot of them pull off, a lot of good fish pull off. They just, it was weird the way they were biting. They'd get hooked up, and you'd feel them rip drag a couple of times, and then they'd just tear loose.
Yeah, just pull off, man.
Some days they just do that, and there's not hardly any way you can figure out, you know, anything to do about it. It's just, but there was a lot of bites, lots of bites.
Yeah, you know, like counts.
10-inch, 12-inch, you know, 13-inch trout. Some that you had to measure real close and throw back. It was a fun day. we were impressed by what we had going, but finally about 12 o'clock the lights went out. I mean, it was over.
The switch flipped.
It just was blowing so hard that you couldn't do anything. Even getting behind a cane break was not an option. I was blowing pieces of cane in the boat.
Yeah, it's hard to hide on the Gulf Coast. I mean, there's not a lot of wind breaks, you know, like you get on lakes with bluffs and trees and everything else. So the wind, it blows.
Yeah, you could feel the wind gusts slamming into the rod. If you stuck your rod up in the air.
Yeah, pushing that rod down, grabbing the rod. That's windy.
Oh, boy. And anyway, we managed to survive it, me and my three crew.
Yeah. What were y'all doing to catch those? Was there any special technique or presentation, or just, you know, grind it out, fish it out?
We were fishing. First right off, we had a tide started falling. And as that tide picked up speed, we did better, you know. And every ditch, every little bayou or big bayou, you could catch a fish or two out of every one of them. And the better fish were on the bank, but they always were near the bios, you know, where the flow was. And they were eating shrimp. Now, you know, no doubt about that. And every once in a while, we'd have a tern or a seagull, mostly the big terns, big old orange-billed terns. They would spot the fish for us. They'd dip, and you'd see them catch a shrimp skipping on the top, and you throw right there, and you'd get a fish. You know, that was the pattern. And you just had to to watch out for them. You know, you might not have but one or two birds, and they'd switch around from spot to spot, but they were definitely eating shrimp, and shrimp were always being raised up in the water column by the fish. So
right,
that was the deal. It was sight fishing almost. And every once in a while you'd see a fish break. See a big old red come up like a submarine that stick their back out of the water. that's always fun to watch.
Pretty easy spot. But,
yeah. And white was our best color. White with glitter, white, sparkly white, anything like that.
Yeah.
I threw a little John, they threw a Kitty, Wiggler, Ball Tail, you know, and seemed like the bite was best on each one. Didn't matter what, you know, if you threw it right in the right spot, you got a fish. So we probably stayed busy, probably caught 40 trout.
Yeah.
And wound up with 17 good, solid.
Plenty of action. Plenty of action.
Yeah. Yeah, it's but you got to plan what you're going to do and stuff like that. It's just unsafe to run the big lake.
Yeah, you when it's gusting like that, anything. Too much can happen. It's, you know, it's uncomfortable. It get wet at times. Just you got the capability, just pull around, put in on the protected side, and fish it out. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the wind's been prevailing out of the east, northeast, or southeast for days. And so I've been able to play that pattern.
And lots better than west.
Yeah.
Southwest, west, yeah. Northwest.
Northwest. Yeah. That old saying about winds from the west, fish bite the best, that's not true here.
Not around here, it isn't.
No.
And the winds in the east, anyway, the fishing is least. No, I'll take an east over west any day of the week.
Yeah, for sure. But that was that day, and of course we even caught better on Saturday. I managed to dodge the storms. It went in over at Galveston.
Yeah.
And on the west side of Sabine Lake. A friend of mine went duck hunting that morning, just over about 10 miles from 10 miles to the west Sabine Lake, and they got run off at about 8:30. Had come a big old storm over there.
Man,
didn't run them out of the blind, but they killed a bunch of teal.
Yeah,
yeah.
The duck opener was good, from what I hear. A lot of birds were put on the ground, man, or on the water.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a good hunt, and but like I say, they got run out of the marsh. It was lightning striking, and
yeah, that lightning
thing.
They got
probably about halfway back to the truck.
When you're in the marsh, that's it's kind of like being in a boat out in the middle of the bay in a lightning storm. That's not a good place to be.
No, it's terrifying.
It's
you know,
too close for comfort for me. I'll be a.
Yeah, you're pretty much
I'll be a live chicken before I'll be a dead duck. I'm gonna run. I'm gonna live to fish another day or hunt another day. Let me do this break, right, Bill. I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang on a second.
Okay.
All right, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch. Well, they have it all. And don't forget their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters also. Bring your friends, bring your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. If you need a place for team building, family reunions, or weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40, or they can host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 418. Let's go back and talk some more with Captain Bill. All right, Bill, we are back.
Well, have you you haven't done any deer hunting yet, have you?
Not yet, man. It's my neck hadn't started swelling yet. We need some weather, man.
Well, we're fixing to go this weekend, and it's not going to be cold, you know. We thought that if we waited, usually go October 1st, and we thought that if we waited, it'd be cooler. So that's not happening.
No, it's not.
But at least it's not in the 80s. It's going to be in the 70s. Oh, man, I still know. But I think I probably better get my thermocell cranked up and be sure it's got stuff in it. Mosquitoes will probably be eating us up.
Yeah, did y'all get much rain over your way? I mean, any sizable amounts at all?
We got a 4-inch rain in one day.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And then the next day we got, it skipped a day, and then it rained an inch. So that's where we are right now. The ground is wet, and they've called off the burn bans, but and I did burn one brush pile. I got several to do. Yeah, just going to have to wait, see what happens this weekend with the deer hunt.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're...
Where are you
going
to go?
We are going. We'll see what happens. Should be able to see some animals, but, you know, East Texas is... It's always a little bit different.
Yeah.
In South Texas.
Where are you going to go in East Texas?
A little bit earlier. Well, we're going to Venado Creek.
Where's that at?
Big fine ranch up there at St. Augustine.
Oh, in St. Augustine area? Okay.
Yeah. They got some beautiful bucks up there, but none of us can afford to shoot one.
No. Pull the trigger on one of them, you better have a healthy checkbook.
Yeah, they've got some beautiful ones. I mean, every year when I go, I get the itchy trigger finger, but it doesn't bother me that much anymore. The quality of the hunt's all that matters to me. Shoot, you know, there's no meat hunts on their ranch this year except us. We're the only ones. Because their doe herds is kind of trimmed down to where they need it to be. But they've got some nice cull bucks. They got some big 8-points.
Yeah.
And those are pretty reasonable, you know. Man wants to shoot his first deer. That'd be the place to do it. Accommodations are absolutely excellent. You know, it's a 5-star place. Stuck
really?
Off out in the middle of San Augustine Hills. Yeah. It's just it's an amazing place. Beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice places in the state of Texas.
Oh, yeah. Boy, there are lots of opportunities to hunt. And then you can, you know, you do the doe hunt thing, and you can get, pretty good bargains and still hunt. You know, it's I like it.
Yeah.
We're all retired now, and not fighting the deer leases anymore.
No, that's
totally ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous how much land costs.
The prices, you know, to have your own place and the you know, as far as maintaining it, you know, properly, like you're supposed to, you know, with feed and, you know, keeping things running. Oh, it's a full-time deal.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time on our old lease maintaining the well, you know, trying to keep that well running. You can't, if you don't have water, you ain't, you know, it's hard to make it.
Yeah, you got to have water.
But, you know, that big old giant flood, Sabine River flood of 2016, wiped us out. It was 10 foot of water in that pasture.
Boy, it's been that long ago already. 8 years
ago. I talked to the lease boss here about a month ago, and the one that's got it, and he said that they had Hurricane Laura blew all the den trees down, and then they had followed up that year with a big giant freeze that killed a bunch of the squirrels, and they don't have a squirrel population anymore. I mean, it's just hard to imagine a place that was that good for squirrel hunting is not any good anymore.
Yeah, it's going to take time.
Yeah. He said five of them went out hunting last year, and they had to thaw out squirrels to fry.
That's not good.
Yeah, five guys, all experienced squirrel hunters, went on opening day and didn't kill five squirrels between them. So that's bad.
Yeah.
But they're killing some good bucks on that place. You know,
are they?
Some nice deer. Yeah, because it's so inaccessible. You can't hardly get in there. Right. 5,000 acres of blown down weeds and mess. It's just a mess. The roads are not good. And the landowners, the land agents, not the landowners, but the land agents, won't allow them to push new roads or build up the roads. Or, you know, it's just... But they sure want that money.
Yeah. Usually those land people, you know, they appreciate that, you know, keeping the roads maintained and taking care of things. Usually that's
When your land agent is in Florida and they don't have any idea what's going on in East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really difficult.
It's just a money deal for them.
It's just a money deal, and it's $11 an acre.
Good
Some
Lord.
Of them are 11 and three quarters an acre. That's just totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then won't help you do anything. That makes it even worse. But I'm out of that.
Better to save your money and book an outfitter.
It is. Totally.
It really is in the long run. You're way ahead of the game.
I have a good friend that owns a ranch up in Detroit, Texas, way up in the northeast corner. And he's got 1,000 acres. And he said, you know, it's high-fenced. And he said, you know, Bill, it's going to get to where the only hunting opportunities are going to be places like this. They're going to price everybody out of the river bottoms, and you know, all of the open piney woods are all going to be priced out, and it's darn if we're not there.
Yeah, with a lot of things, nothing's all the things we like to do. They aren't very cheap anymore.
No, they're not.
You know, for a lot of fishermen, a lot of the public access is gone. You know, if you don't have a boat, you're kind of limited what you can do. But there's still some accessible areas. If the anglers that are doing it will take care of it and don't litter it up and trash it out, you know, like we've seen over the years, man, they get to trashing these public spots up, and they shut them down simply for that.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah,
in too many good places. And no reason to not be able to pack your trash back out.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is a kitchen garbage bag. You know.
Yeah.
Throw it in the bed of your truck.
Just pick up after yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
All it takes.
But there is one bright spot in the world right now. And that's the election went my way.
Well, that's good. I'm and happy for you.
No, I ain't going to say nothing else. But
there you go. Well, we'll leave it at that. I think everybody's in a pretty good mood right now.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see some change.
Yeah, a lot of things are reacting to it in a positive way. That's good.
Oh, yeah, stock market.
How about that yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
That was a jump. By a few,
yes,
few new fishing lures and a couple of reels or whatever, with that that kind of positive outlook.
Yes, sir. That always a little prosperity is a good thing.
What are you still chunking? What kind of reels are you mostly using right now, Bill?
Oh, I'm still using my, I've got some Lues.
Right.
And I've got some Concepts.
Right.
And I've still got three C2s in the box and a TX2. And I'm using a TX2 right now. But it's been on the water 2 full years and starting to fade out and look ugly.
But it still works, though, right?
It's still working. Yeah, buddy. And I really like those reels, but,
yeah,
you know, our access kind of dried up.
Well, yeah, Rapala bought them out. And,
yeah.
I guess
and
I don't
what
know
the
what
result
to do
of
with that
stuff.
Company.
Yeah, I have no idea. Those were Korean reels. They're made in Korea, and that's a little bit different deal. But I talked to a guy the other day in the boat that that brought a Japanese reel. It's a Shimano of some sort. I can't remember the name of it.
Right.
But he ordered it from Japan and had it shipped over here. They don't sell them in this country.
Really?
And yeah. Yeah.
Are they holding out on us over there?
Yeah, I think so. They save some of the best ones for their country. But I don't know what to do for a real deal right now. I'm just, you know, got my ear to the ground and looking.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'm still all my Concepts, you know, all of my 13s are still fishable and in great shape. I just hope they don't mess up, because I understand it's probably hard to get parts for them now that, you know, there's not that widespread availability like once before. But
I wonder if they
a couple of those new baits, salty hundos, so far so good, you know. Jury's still out on those. I'm not going to brag too much till I get a lot of time on them, see how they're going to hold up. Boy, they're
pretty What sweet. Kind of reels is that?
The Bates, B-A-T-E-S, and the Salty Hundo. That's the two I have.
Okay.
And
so
far
good?
So good. Yeah, they chunk good. They're real smooth. Drag system's unreal. I mean, they're really nice. Really nice.
Well, I might check that out. See if I've not heard of those.
Yeah, that's the newest thing out right now. But, you know, everybody's makes good reels now, you know, for the most part. But it's real small. You know, it's got a small frame, but it still holds a lot of line. And it's almost too small for my big old mitt, you know, as big as my left hand is. You know, the way I wrap my palm the reel, you know, wrap my hand around the reel with a rod trigger between my middle finger and ring finger. But
yeah,
I got used to it. It's real light.
Well,
smooth.
I have, my hands are so broke down after all these years of cleaning redfish.
I've been so blessed that my shoulders and my elbows and wrist and hands have, you know, they hadn't gotten arthritic, you know, like a lot of my friends. I mean, they go out and chunk lures all day, and, man, they're on that team ibuprofen. At the end of the day, man, they're beat up.
Oh, I know.
That was a problem with my mom, you know, in her older years. She had arthritis so bad, And it would just, you know, she'd fish for a couple of days, a week. That's all she could do. And that rest time, she was just stove up.
Yeah, that's tough.
It is. But it didn't stop her love for the game, buddy. She kept doing it, even just take the pain and fish, man.
Yeah,
she loved catching big old trout. My gosh, I never seen nothing like it. She was obsessed with it. I think my dad, he was probably already burnt out by those golden years, you know, of fishing with her, but he went because of her.
Yeah.
I mean, how many fish can you catch and stay enthused? But she did.
Yeah, my mom loved it too. She'd fish in a road ditch.
Yeah, if there was water somewhere, my mom was going to drop a bait in it. You can bet on it.
Yeah,
the way she grew up, my grandfather was a fishing machine, and it just, you know, it trickles down through the family.
Yeah, it's in our genetic makeup.
Yeah, it is. DNA, baby.
We can't help it.
Can't help it at all. That's right. All right, well, I can't help it. I got a break. I got to go. So if somebody wants to call you about fishing with you, Bill, give them some info how they can get over there and hook up with you, bud.
409-673-9211.
All right, my
There's
friend.
There's still some good fishing left this year.
So. All right, so this coming Saturday, you're going to be deer hunting, so I need to skip over you?
Yes, I probably won't be able to get a signal at
Have
that
a phone
place.
Signal? All right.
I bet
I can get old Richard Cox to talk in your place, the fish dude.
That's AT&T territory, and I'm Verizon, so
okay,
might not work out.
You're done, buddy. Man. You're history. All right, well, have a good hunt, Bill. Always a pleasure talking to you. You be safe. Go get some meat.
All right.
All right, brother.
Will do.
Later. All right. That's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. And speaking of deer hunting and all that, nothing like the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. And if you're looking for a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue, they serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pecan smoked pulled pork and all their homemade hot dogs on the menu also, and smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store, so you can try out what blend you like before you buy it. And they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and their pecan smoked sausage original country hot dogs. You can buy two packs of those and get the third pack free. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf processed, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing, they have a new sausage available, a recipe available this year just in time for deer season. You got to try it. It's really good, along with their deer tamales, venison hot dogs. And they're now taking orders for country smoked turkeys, 11 to 13-pound average weight birds, limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It is 4:38 in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Conroe now. Let's check in with our good friend, the fish dude, old Richard Tosh. Richard, what is up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
Man, I'm here, buddy. It's good,
good
to be
deal.
Alive, my friend. It's all good.
I heard that. Yeah, buddy, I guarantee you. And it's actually starting to kind of feel like fall, so. That's not too bad.
I wish you'd send a little of that down this way. It was like duck soup out there this morning, man. I opened the door and go, man, it's kind of warm. It was kind of foggy looking.
Yeah. It's coming, though. It's coming. Yeah, there ain't no doubt. Sometimes I don't even know when they're calling for that cold front to come in, but when it gets here, it ought to cool things down pretty good because it didn't do too bad up here. It got us down here in the 50s anyway, so we're good.
You know, last week I was looking at it, and it was looked like it was going to be in low in the 50s and all that. And we're lucky to get it below 77 down here on the coast. So,
yeah, but y'all got all that hot water around you, too. That's the thing. Y'all got that water still pretty dang warm out there around you. So that's going to keep y'all's temperature up no matter what. But once Once it starts cooling down, though, it's going to be good. There ain't no doubt about it.
Well, I was praying for a good fall this year, but it looks like we're going to go from summer just straight to winter. No,
that's what it's acting like.
I've seen that before, too.
Yep. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's, you know, I can't believe it's already November and still it's dying warm and even got the dying old hurricane out there going. So it's like, goodness, you know, it's
November's.
I know that rascal, but that's that dang, like I said, that cold front, it'll kill it. So that's the best part about it. It'll knock it back anyway. That's why, you know, it don't hurt my feelings. Don't get this cold front in here, knock all that stuff out. So, because it's, and I don't know if they know where it's going to go. I mean, good night. I saw one projection where it's going in towards New Orleans. The next one is going towards Mexico. So,
well, the last thing I heard, it was just going to stall out there in the southwestern Gulf, just sit there and just dissipate.
It won't hurt my feelings if it does that either. So, I mean, good night. As long as everything kind of cools down and gets ready, because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, we're already into November and it's not even cooled down enough. So I wonder how the rut's going to be on these deer this year. I mean, normally, like out there in Lano, normally that week before Thanksgiving or right there around Thanksgiving, the rut's usually wide open. And it's, I just don't know with all this heat if it's going to trigger anything or not. You know, unless it cools down quite a bit between now and then, who knows? You know, that's one of the things. So it's, and then South Texas, I don't, you know, their rut's always later in the year anyway. It normally starts around the end of December, first part of January, from what I know. And so, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the rut as far as the deer are concerned anyway. But that opening weekend was all right. I got one of my target animals anyway, so it wasn't too bad. So, nice old 10-point. He wasn't nothing huge, but, you know, he's one of the bigger hill country deer. So
yep, mature, time to die, and good table
fare.
That's it. There you go.
Exactly. That's the main thing. That's it. That's pretty much it. So everything else is, you know, I'll be hunting for something a little bit bigger, but we'll see. You know, if they don't show up, I won't get another one. It's just is the way it works.
You pretty much process your own deer, right? You make sausage and all that and burger.
Everything.
Yeah.
You name it. We got it all set up where we cut everything up and grind it up and stuff it and you name it. Whatever we end up doing. Like this year, we're going to make a bunch of chili, so we're always taking, you know, whenever
chili meat.
Take every few years we'll make a bunch of chili and we'll pre-cook it and put it in mason jars and freeze it that way. So all you got to do is thaw it out, heat it up, and it's ready to go. So it works out great too. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna have to bring
old
some
school,
one day.
Just like the old canning days, man. I remember watching my grandmother and all her friends. They can and they lived off of that all year. They put it up in the pantry.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's
vegetables, everything.
Everything. You do it all. I mean, that's the thing. And that's kind of stick with those old ways like that. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, we get out there years ago. I remember as a kid growing up, we'd go out there and we'd be cleaning hogs and stuff and cooking them cracklings down and good night. Boy, you talk about some work and just some memories more than anything. Cooking all them cracklings down and having that lard on the side, can that lard up and all that stuff, and I go by these places over in Louisiana anymore, and everybody's selling cracklings, and I get people ask me, hey, let's get some cracklings. You can have them. I don't want none of them. I grew up eating them things, and boy, I'll tell you what, after you eat some hot cracklings for a while, you get eat so many of them, your stomach gets coated. It's like, good night. Those things are horrible. You get tired of eating them. So it's just like, goodness, no. I mean, I've had enough when I was a kid, so I'm not a crackling fan anymore. You know, it's just because you just get lined with that lard, that fresh lard on your belly, and it's like, no, that's enough. I had enough when I was young. I don't need no more. And then that's like one of my cousins and I was out there talking this last weekend about, you know, because his dad used to be involved in doing a lot of that, and then scalding chickens. We used to get good night. We'd get out there and scald them chickens, hand pluck them and stuff like that. And you talk about horrible. That was no fun. Dipping them chickens in that hot water and then go to plucking them feathers out of them and then scalding the hogs, too. They'd take that hot water and pour it over them.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I never did. Yeah. But now, we used to wax our ducks, you know, out of a big crawfish pot with paraffin wax in it and water. And bring it to a boil and dip them ducks in there.
I'll be darned.
Let it dry with that wax on the feathers. Just peel it like an orange.
I'll be darned. I'd never even heard of that. So
yeah, we used
to do
that.
That's a new one on me. Yeah, I used to wax my traps. That's all I can tell you. At the end of the season, because I trapped coons when I was in high school. You know, that's one of the things. You know, nowadays they ain't worth nothing. But back when I was in high school, man, you could get $20-$25 a hide for a raccoon. So that's
really
Yeah. I mean, that was a big thing for me because, I mean, I've made a lot of money trapping coons in the wintertime because the season was always December and January. So you go out there and get you a bunch of them, and then all of a sudden the market fell, so they quit buying them all together. But you know, even when I was really young, you know, like in my teens, even before, you know, that, when daddy would go out there, I mean, raccoon wasn't but $6 a hide, so that was a long time ago. But like in 70, I think it was like 76 through 80, they were $25 or $30 a hide. So, I mean, you can make some pretty good money. I was making, you know, I'd catch enough to make $5,000-$6,000 a month, you know, just catching coons. And that
I remember when a quarter of live shrimp was about $2.50, $3. Now it's $25.
Not more. But isn't that crazy? That's crazy how that stuff's just kind of gone up. But I mean, that's
dollar a piece for a croaker. Man, that's a lot.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You're not kidding. I mean, that's that bait anymore is just, it's horrible. It kills me out.
Well, it costs so much for those guys to go catch it. I mean, it's just.
I know. That fuel expenses kill you. You know, that's one of the.
Yeah. And then all the work involved. What's a man's time worth, you know?
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's just like us as guides. I mean, you know, the thing is, a lot of people go out there and you know, go. Some of them are nitpicky about how much it costs. Well, you know, that's what it costs to run. You know, I mean, operations. You know, you got to maintain your equipment. You got to fuel up. You got to do this. Then your time involved. You know, that's, you know, especially like with me. You know, I'm out there. Typically, I'm out on the water early every morning, catching bait, cleaning the boat, doing this, doing that. You know, and it's I don't really consider my time as being much. It's more the just taking care of everything more than anything. You know,
because
that's especially on fuel costs when you're filling up 80 gallons at a time. I mean, that's a pretty good chunk of change. Even though I know some of these offshore guys, you know, they're going with thousands, but they're also charging for the fuel prices of most of them too. So it's a little bit different on the lake, but it's not too bad. You know, that's the main thing. It's more affordable for most people on the lakes than some of the offshore trips. You know, because there's, I mean, I've been on trips where you spend $2,000 on fuel, and then you're gonna pay your guides too after that. So it's it is what it is. You know, it depends on how bad and how far you want to go. That's
there
the thing.
You go. All it takes is money. All right, Richard. Well, I got to roll out of here. Somebody wants to call you about coming up and fishing Conroe with you, man. Give them some info.
All right, Mickey. You want to get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Well, Richard, have a good day. I'll talk to you Saturday, man. You be safe.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Later. All right. All right. Now let's run down Matagorda way and let's check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky this morning. Charlie P., good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Life is good.
Yes. It's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
You caught a few fish yesterday, it looked like.
Yeah, yesterday was a pretty good day. We released quite a few fish over 20 inches.
Great.
I only post that kind of stuff when nobody else is fishing.
Yeah.
I don't think three boats went out yesterday.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. You know, it's just that time of the year.
Yeah.
But, you know, the water wasn't real clear to start with, but, I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous when we left yesterday. So, we got the same crew again today, so it ought to be pretty good.
Pressure's off. Now you can go hog hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't catch anything over 24 inches, but, you know, several of those. Now, you know, all summer long, I was telling you, we were catching those slender male trout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all chunky, fat fish now.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere you go.
You know, there was a lot of males caught this year. You know, when I went down south with Cliff, we caught some big males down there.
Yeah.
And they were all staged up, you know, on the females. Females were in there, you know, with the spawns going on and all that, but it was a lot harder to, you know, pull those out of, you know, all the male competition.
Right.
You know how it works.
Oh, yeah. We even had a bonus fish yesterday. One of them caught a triple tail.
There you go.
Just, you know, on a blind cast, you know, which you don't do very often.
That's true.
So, it was about a 5 or 6 pounder.
That's good table fare there. That's a big old giant crappie.
I sure hated to give him that meat and not take it home myself, I'll tell you. But things are good. Things are good. You know, Saturday we fished. Bink had like, how many people was it? 60 people in that group.
I remember he had a giant group at the lodge.
Yeah, and there was 100% chance of rain.
Right.
And there was quite a few women in this group, too. And I had to take them to the river. There wasn't no options, you know, to hide from that stuff. But
right.
We had one rain shower. For 1 hour, it rained as hard as it could rain, you know. Yeah, I mean, we were just drenched, and I'm sitting there just saying, man, I hope these people just won't go in. And when it ended, it was the most beautiful day you ever seen in your life.
Right. Sun came out.
Shrimp started jumping out of the water in the middle of the river. Birds started working. It was a great fishing day, man. It really was.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not there, you can't catch them.
No. No. And then I came home back to Sugar Land for the weekend, and rained about 4 or 5 inches there.
Yeah.
We got the rain that we needed.
Yeah, I got one downpour. I probably got about 3.5 inches out of it. I needed it, man. It was just powder dry. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, man, these tides were high yesterday. Holy cow, yeah. They were high.
Yeah, that old wind's keeping these tides up, man. Pushing that water in here.
It was, it fell about, I don't know, 8 inches. Hmm. But I'll bet it's pulled up again this morning.
It is.
Yeah.
Let's see, we're on a standing high right now. Yeah. We had a high like in the middle of the night at 216. But the low's about 11 hours behind that, so we got a low at 132 today here, so it'll be a little bit later down your way.
Yeah, we had a pretty good bite about 10 o'clock, but right now, I guarantee you that best bite's late in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my last weight, I released 324 inches, and I said, oh, this is going to go crazy later on this afternoon.
Oh, those are some solid fish. That's nice to catch.
Put a red shad bass assassin on and bam, bam.
How about
bam.
That? Isn't that a shocker?
Yes, sir.
How many fish has that bait caught over the years? The old red shad. My gosh.
That's right. It's a good one.
I mean, back in the day, I wouldn't even get out of the boat with any other soft plastic if I had a red, you know, red shad bass assassin, pocket full of them with a couple extra jig heads and some topwaters, and hey, they weren't eating that. They weren't eating.
Yeah. Yeah, we threw a lot of topwaters yesterday. I don't think we only had a couple of blow-ups. These fish are just
isn't that
on the bottom.
Yeah, they do that. And then next week, they may all they want is topwaters. You don't
absolutely.
Know. Just got to be prepared.
Absolutely.
All right.
And you can, uh, you, Birds working everywhere out there, Mickey, and it's all trinket trash. All little sand trout and gaff top.
Well, it's warmed up, man. We need a good rip snorter in the worst way.
It'll come soon enough. Guarantee it.
Right, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm looking at the extended forecast, and it's not looking good.
It's a crazy year.
It is. It has been.
Yeah.
In more ways than one, other than fishing, everything. All right, Charlie P. If somebody wants to get over there and cut a wade with you or pop a drift, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie, good talking to you. I'll talk to you Saturday.
Take care, Mickey.
Be careful. All right. Later. All right. All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.